定调里边，不同的演员其实唱出来还是会有不同的风格在里边的，对，好。
You see, in the olden days when there was no mic, they used to be taught to throw the voice. But if you see the history, political history of India in the north of the country, there were a lot of continuous invasions. And many of the musicians had to move from place to place because of this unrest. So as they moved, many of the techniques that they had over a period of time might have gone out of circulation. But whatever techniques we don't learn them as specific exercises. We learn them as part of the continuous singing process. We are not taught different exercises as I think they are done in Western music. I don't know about Chinese music, but in Western music I know they have different exercises for various. Whereas in Hindustani music, the way I learned from my teacher, it came as you sang. You were automatically taught throw your voice, or and they were very simple instructions. They said take a deep breath and sing. You know, so I my conclusion is when you take a deep breath, you're deep, breathing deep down, which means you're using your diaphragm. But they were not able, they did not tell you breathe up to your diaphragm, sing with your diaphragm. No, nothing like that. Take a deep breath and sing. So the instructions were quite simple. And now, and the voice had to be thrown because the audiences were large and there was no mic. And now, over a period of time, because of the mic, as you've noticed, my voice is quite loud. And I find that the voice, you don't need to develop that big resonant voice because the mic is there now. Now, what that is going to do to natural voice production, we only have to see over a period of time. The good points and the bad points. Each any change brings with it good and bad points. So, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just adding just one more point to Pandita Lalji. In the olden days, our music was patronized by royal. It was royal patronage. The kings, the courts, musicians used to sing in the courts, and it used to be patronized by the kings.
Chamber concert.
Chamber concert. You know, it would be something like this.
Maybe a slightly bigger.
Slightly bigger than this, that's all. Not bigger than this. So the audience could listen to the vocalist without microphones and they'd be recorded by Turks. And slowly when royal patronage saw the decline and music started coming to the public and that's where the public performances started happening, that's when the microphone started. So now you imagine sitting in an AC hall where you can, with 500 people can sit. It is really not possible to reach the last audience, you know, in the last row, last person in the last row. So then that's when the microphone started coming. And accordingly, the singing techniques have changed to suit the...
Just the mic.
Too much. You can't really screaming in the mic, you know. You can't do that. Even if you reach the highest note, you sort of hold back and sing it very softly, even though it is not natural sometimes. So the techniques have changed in that regard, but we are not taught separate techniques as it is done in the West. It comes naturally for us.
我简单说一下，就是我刚刚听起来，其实也是我心里一直有的问题，就是说，我先解释一下他们说的是什么，就是说，随着时间的变迁，很多我们演唱的技巧都可能随着这个社会，或者说我们这个大环境的变化下也不一样。就简单来说，比如说现在他们要在大剧场里面演唱，对吧？他这种唱腔一般来说是不用那个。我现在拿着这个麦克风，但是呢，因为要适合现在不同的环境需要需求，我们渐渐会有演唱是要需要的麦克风的出现。那这个他说是会影响到演唱的技巧，但是呢，也不会说老师还分开来教你啊，你 拿着麦克风该怎么唱，或者说啊你不拿着麦克风的时候怎么唱，他们还是会跟以前一样的唱法，当然就是有一点点的适应与变更。然后我回到刚才林丹老师说的这个杨明文说 So Mr. Liang has talked about the modes for the country opera singer. Actually the mode is fixed and it will not change according to the pitch or to the voice of a particular performance. But then the style or the sonority will be different, depends on the voice of the performer. 好，然后就继续回去刚才我刚忘了翻，所以还是要说一下嘛。就回到刚才他们说的这个问题，我有个小小的问题啊，我先说一下中文，就是说现在我们传统很多戏曲啊，或者说乐种啊，都在一个挣扎的过程，就是说在创新的过程里面，我们怎么去保护这个传统呢？怎么说在创新去迎合这个现代的条件里面，我们不会破坏传统呢？ So my question is, in the course of innovation or to cope with modernization or the Western culture, we may have a lot of innovations or creations, but how should we protect the tradition in order, not to make it destroyed or not to make the transition lost? Yeah.
Your question.
Yeah, that's my question.
Can I rephrase the question? Can I ask another question?
Yeah, sure.
So, this is not a question I would ask. So, since we are two coordinators, I will ask my question using the same idea. I think it's very difficult when we live in a continuously changing society, which has been changing for 200 years or more, to say there is something called tradition that remains unchanged and we need to preserve it in modern times. So I will begin with the idea that nothing is fixed and nothing is something that remains unchanged over time, right? Even if you look at the forms, and I feel very humble sitting in front of people who are either my teachers or people who are very senior to me and trying to say what I understand of North Indian music. So I think I ask all of them to close their ears while I say all this and not listen to what I'm saying. So to my understanding, there's a form that Lalitji demonstrated, which is a Drupad form, which is a much older form, which went back 700 years. People say maybe 800 years ago, we had that form of music, right? After some time, that mode of singing changed. And by about the 18th century in India, in northern India, the form of the khayal, what was mostly demonstrated today, emerged, right? So it's not as though we do have melodic forms that have sort of carried over across over 700 years, but the way they're expressed, the compositions themselves, there are many elements of it that change. So you can't say that something changes, something doesn't change. We have to imagine that this mode of conveying music is in constant flux. We have to imagine that flux is the only thing that we can take for granted, right? And knowing that, it's not about protecting tradition, but about seeing this entity that's in flux and doing different things with it as we move along. The reason why Hindustani music is such a powerful, a way of conveying and expressing emotion and a sense of who people are and their own identities today in India, even after such a long time, after 200 years of colonialism, right? It's because it did change. We did not come where we are today by protecting what we had. We came here because we kept changing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that what we change with and how we make the change ensures there's something we can take forward. So this may run counter to your common sense and to how other people understand it. My apologies in advance, but this is how I understand the situation.
老师把他所学的很多的心得，然后通过老师跟学生的口对口身体的教育的这种传授，那么其实我觉得真的是不用担心 现在很多新的东西进来会把昆曲破坏掉，因为其实我们在看600年前的昆曲和现在的昆曲其实是不一样的，它的变化是慢慢的变的，它并不是说好像就是说有新的事物进来就会把这个传统的东西给破坏掉。那我觉得它传统的东西一直这个底子是在，因为昆曲最传统的我觉得它的是文化基础，它的剧本在那边，如果它的剧本在那边再加上昆曲艺人的代代相传的那种记忆城市的东西保留下去，那么我觉得有新的东西进来其实是对昆曲来说它的更好的一种发展，我觉得它就是不断的有新的营养进去。那就是说哪怕就是我觉得看传自辈老师到昆大班老师到我们这边其实演的同样的诗画教化其实就有变化了，传自辈老师交给岳老师交给王世宇老师两个老师演出来的版本就已经不一样了。那岳老师和蔡老师也在传到我们这边又不一样，因为每个老师每个艺人都会对这个戏会有自己的理解自己的认识在这个戏里边，那他的每个人的认识我觉得是跟时代是有关系的，那么所以说他的昆曲他这个传承是跟着时代其实是慢慢会是有变化，它并不是一成不变的，它不像一本书放在那边可能永远就写完就是这个样子，但是昆曲它是跟随时代我觉得是会有变化的，但是我觉得你只要是好的东西我想它肯定就会慢慢会流传下去的，那么如果你觉得当它消失于舞台上那肯定它的这个尝试我觉得是失败的。对，
谢谢我觉得很奇妙，就是刚才虽然我没有翻译这个田卓老师说的，其实李安老师跟他的意见是不谋而合的，就是说好的东西只要我们努力我们把它就是有一个那么强的文化底蕴在，我们不真的不是不怕新的东西就是加入进来，因为毕竟你这个东西是要生活就是活在我们的生活里面，它不会是永远只是一个放在博物馆里面的一件物件啊，你看着它然后它不变，是不是这样子的，所以我觉得这个问题就是两位老师已经解答了我刚才提出的这个问题不知道下面各位还有什么问题吗？
我具体想问一下，就是印度古典音乐它因为有介绍说在宫廷里面发展过，是从宫廷发展的，因为昆曲也是这样的，就是说从一个融合了很多地方曲调然后到明代的宫廷的音乐这样，所以我们那个音韵的话呢，那个昆曲是以周韵为主嘛，周韵韵这样，那印度古典音乐它演唱的时候是不是也会有就是说以最标准的话最传统的话是以宫廷的一种语言或者一种
就是官话，
哎对，一种标准语音这样来演唱的或者来表现的，然后呢他们的文本因为我们的文本是传奇然后是每个角色来叙述心路这样的，那他们的文本是从第三者角度的说呢，还是说从演员本身这样就是演一个角色这样的叙述这种角度多一点，然后我们现在昆曲呢是有曲社然后有曲友然后进行一种互动和传承的这种模式哈然后就是跟社等于专业和非专业或者是和研究机构这样有一种互动那么那个古典的印度音乐
有没有
是不是现在也有这样的一种社会形态或者演出表演的形式这样的好，差不多这样还有就是他们表演的时候是一个人演吗，还是说一个剧目有很多角色同时会表演这样的
OK 好so she has three questions for you guys and then the first question was back to the genre, it was, you know, performed in the Empire, right? So what kind of language, was there any official language for the genre to be performed?
Official?
Can I answer this question?
Yeah, sure.
Just to speed up the process, because we have very little time. Curiously, North Indian classical music was always sung in the same language. It's the Hindustani language, which is, today there are... That language has sort of split into Hindi and Urdu because of various kinds of forms of communal politics that we have in India. But otherwise it was the same original language which used certain dialects of northern India but also had a lot of influence from Arabic and Persian because of the emperors using Arabic and Persian as a language in their courts. Those were not the languages that sang it. The singers sang in Hindustani. It just became a convention to compose compositions, to write music or to write songs in that same dialect. So no matter where in the country you come from, like Omkar will sit in southern India and compose a song in that same language. It has become the language of music. And what's the libretto?
She was asking about.
So I'm saying, I'm talking about the lyrics. I'm talking about the songs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The language of the songs is always Hindustani. Mm-hmm. By Hindustani, it's actually a broad label which includes many dialects of northern India, mm-hmm. which we can't go into now. It'd be too confusing.
Mm-hmm. And how about the content of the librettos? Was there like stories?
Let's not call them librettos because that's a Western concept.
Uh-huh.
They're simply songs. They're compositions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The content varies. I think I'll ask Lalit to speak about it.
The content is very varied. It can be devotional. Mm-hmm. It can be about the seasons.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It can be about love, separation, desertion, mm-hmm. Anything that you want.
Uh-huh.
But the lyrics are, especially for classical music, are very small.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about four lines.
Mm.
And you usually use the first line of the song as like a chorus.
Mm.
You keep repeating that. Mm. And the rest of the things are sung once or twice. You can elaborate on them, but the main thing is a chorus. And by emoting, by giving different colors to the way you sing, I think you can give so many interpretations to that one little piece of stanza that you are singing.
So the performer is singing from a third person perspective, or you know, the first.
Suppose he composes a song.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So we follow as far as possible the way he has sung it initially to establish the composition.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, you use your imagination to create various pictures on what he had composed. But when you sing it first, my belief is that you should sing it the way he has composed it, because it is his perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then you elaborate on it, saying that, okay, I'm thinking of his composition in this way.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic, when you introduce the composition, it has to be sung the way
the composer.
Okay. So her last question was about. Do you have anything?
One point. That's all. Sorry, I'll not.
Don't worry.
One of the main things about Indian classical music when it comes to composition is that, as Pandita Lalitji said, imagination of the composer. There are two kinds of imaginations in our system. One is the created imagination, which is the composition. The composer at some point has thought about it and has composed, which becomes, and he has said it, so it becomes the created imagination. And with that, we singers take the created imagination and get creative with it. So that's a very, very important aspect of our singing. As you were saying, if Lalitji has composed a composition, I'll try and stay as close to her imagination, her perspective of the composition. And after I presenting the original text and the tune, I get creative with it. So that's two major important aspects.
So her last question was about the fandom. Like for the Quenche artists, they have a group, you know, the fans for them. So do you guys have fans? Like group of fans?
Fans.
Yeah.
I think this lady will ask.
Fans,
yeah,
I can answer that question. There is a Suja fan club. We're all on your Facebook page.
We won't term as fans. Fans is not a correct term, to at least when it comes to Indian classical music. We can say followers who follow the music, who follow a particular tradition of of the music. So there we have the followers in the form of music lovers, in the form of music students.
Mm.
So therein we can just have distinction of the followers in the form of music lovers and in the form of music students. That's
okay. So you were also singing with the amateurs, or you would give class to the amateurs?
Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
Even the amateurs.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Can anybody try that?
Yeah,
you
刚才翻译的有点那个，就不光是 fans, with others.
哎呀，我跟他说了 amateur, 就是那个曲社的那个，
不光是
曲友的，对对对，
因为很多曲社的可能还比较更加专业一点。
是的，我刚说 amateur 就是这个意思，就是他也喜欢这个曲种，就是这个乐种，但是呢，同时他是有某一定程度的专业的程度在里面的，这样。Yeah, thank you.
Can I just add something from my personal experience? I know that Omkar Dio and Alin Ji, they teach music on Skype.
Oh, 他们用 Skype 来上课。
I now don't live in India, but I take lessons from Omkar. So we meet every week on Skype and we have a lesson on Skype. He has students all over the world on Skype.
我稍微很简单总结一下，就刚才这位朋友三个问题，大概就是说，在印度他们唱这个曲种的时候，也是有所谓的官话的，就无论他从印度的哪一个地方来，他都是会用同一个语言去把这个乐种啊，这个唱词唱出来的。然后第二个问题是这个题材它究竟是一个第三者的角度，还是就第一方的角度唱？那就是要看，比如说这个曲子是我写的，那我唱出来当然是以我自己的感受，我第一声去唱出来。但是可能林安老师也会，就是唱这个曲子，他可以在我这个基础上面再加一点他自己的理解，但是就是大部分的理解，就是大部分的那个意思，还是要按照我这个作曲，我这个想法来走的。然后最后一个问题就是关于就是曲友的问题啊，他们也有他们的粉丝，也有就是曲友，他们也会定时去跟他们上课这样子。他们还有 Facebook。好，那时间有点紧张，台下有没有最后一条问题呢？
好，我直接说吧。
好，谢谢。
今天好像关于印度古典音乐的话题都是集中在北印度和印度斯坦这一块。
对，
我想问一下，南印度像达米尔纳的那些地方，他们的音乐和北印度的音乐是不是截然不同的一个体系？他们因为也有源远流长的文化，他们的古典音乐，所有的古典音乐和今天谈及的古典音乐是不是就完全是另外一个概念。
我先解释一下，因为他们三位是特别是这方面的专场，所以就我们今天就没有涉及到这个方面。但是南方的我要问一下。So he was asking about the Carnatic. The Carnatic music style, is it totally different from yours, from Hindustani?
The origin of both North Indian and South Indian styles was the same. And in those days, the language mainly was maybe Sanskrit. But later,in the south, when the music continued, they adopted the local languages. There are compositions in Telugu, in Andhra, in Tamil Nadu, they're in Tamil, in Karnataka, they're in Kannada, in Kerala, in Malayalam. But the way the music is presented is the same. What happened is when the music, for the North Indian genre, what happened was, because of the invasions and the continuous unrest, it developed along different lines, absorbing the beautiful influences that came to it from Persia, from Afghanistan, from wherever. But what happened is, they did not lose the core of their music. But they added all these extra influences, and it is not a patchwork.You can say, oh, this has come from Iran, this has come from... You cannot say that. They have imbibed it and interpreted it through their perspective. So that it has... I feel that this has enriched the music of the North, because it has grown, it has evolved. And there, the languages are based on the different areas of that, like Magadhi, or different areas. Like in the South, you have different dialects. But the general knowledge, language, as Tejaswini ji said, is Hindustani, as a broad language.
So how about the melody? How about the melody?
The melodies are the same, but they have different notes, different names. They are called different. Mohanam in the south is called Kalyan in the north. Things like that. They have different names. And their voice production also has, not voice production, the way of singing has also evolved in different lines.
Okay, thank you.
我简单说一下，就是说这个南北印度他们原来的就出处都是一样的，然后现在就算它那个旋律也是会一样，但是呢 经过长期他们南北两边分就是分开发展的时候，他们会用到他们南北自己的语言，还有他们自己对这个曲子或者说这个乐种的理解，来加一些新的元素进里面，所以大体上还是会是一样的。OK， 好，那如果没有其他问题的话，就欢迎你们等会儿结束之后跟老师讨论了，如果有的话。但是
Announcement for tomorrow, please. I'm sure I'm not following.
OK， 那今天的工作坊就到此结束，好，谢谢各位。Workshop and thank you for your participation and hope you all have a nice weekend.
Yeah, Jenyun will make an announcement about tomorrow.
首先我要感谢今天在座的各位老师和艺术家能够过来参与这次非常精彩的交流，而且是第一次的交流，有很多基础性的问题开始提出来，然后特别感谢那个丁左云，他帮我们联系三位昆剧的那个艺术家过来，其实是很不容易的。我知道这个整个的过程，然后丁左云自己也是做昆剧方面的研究，自己又有西方音乐的一个背景，所以呢，他今天作为我们的翻译和主持，还做了这么精彩的那个 PPT， 我非常非常感谢。然后我想就是明天的下午我们在两点半的时候会在上海当代艺术馆举办它的三楼的那个剧院举办我们的那个第二次的工作坊的活动，那那个空间就会大很多，所以大家如果想比较近距离的感觉的话呢可以早一点到场。那我们这个入场的时候呢是要买上海创意展的门票的，但这个门票不是很贵，就是20元。那我建议大家可以午饭后先早点过去看一下展览，尤其是一楼的那个利亚斯这个作品，就在一楼的那个进去的一个小的一个黑色的空间里面，是 Casual 制作的。它里面它有几个屏幕，每个屏幕都是可以听的，就是一个关于他们如何练声的，如何习得那个音乐的这个学习的一些录像，是他之前的研究的一些录像的和一个纪录片导演的录像的一个节选，所以请大家也欣赏这件作品，同时呢参加我们之后的活动。So I have announced a tomorrow program for the Chinese audience. So thank you again for everyone, and it's a very interesting, basic but provocative starting point for the 4-day series of engagement. 再次感谢大家。So should we have a collective photo in front of this poster?
Yeah, absolutely.
以前是我自己的，等我一下，